Well, I'd like to welcome you again this week as we continue our journey into revival. This seems to be a season where the Lord is focusing on us getting really to know Him. you know, you say, well, I've known Him. You know, like in my case, I've been saved for over 40 years, you know. Gary, don't you know Him? Well, I do. But I'm getting to know Him better. And I'm encouraged that even the Apostle Paul, after all that he had done to not only suffer in the Lord's service, you know, you can read about it, the shipwrecks and the beatings and the whippings and the, you know, the fastings and all of the things that happened to him during his service and all of these years laboring, all of his years laboring for the Lord. And then still to hear him there in the book of Philippians say, I count everything but dung except one thing. I only have one goal now, and that is to know Him, to know Him. And that's really the mark that He was setting in the power of His resurrection, being made conformable to His death. He wanted to know Jesus. And He said he still didn't count Himself to have fully arrived at that place, but He was pressing towards the mark. Well, I feel much that same way. And surely, I mean, anybody just watching the news today can tell that we are, if we're not in the last of the last days, we're certainly in the last days. Israel has been restored after over 2,000 years being dispersed all over the earth. And just like the Bible said, like in a day shall a nation be born, almost like that, Israel is reborn. We're just watching Bible prophecy come to pass right in front of our eyes. What a time to be alive. But we're also seeing the rise of persecution against the Jews, which is commonly called anti-Semitism. And we're also seeing the rise of persecution against Christians get stronger all the time, not only around the world, but even here in the United States. And it seems to be accelerating so very quick. And we talked about this some last week, but we're coming into some really perilous times, as the Bible would say, some difficult times, but it's really not, we're still not suffering anything like what the first church suffered, the persecution that the letter of the Hebrews to the Hebrews was written to them because they were suffering such persecution for being Christians. Can I say it this way? All hell was coming against them, not only from the religion, but also from the government, the Roman government. And the whole purpose of the devil was to snuff out Christianity in its infancy. And how important was it that that first century hold fast to their confession of Christ and continue to assemble together like we talked about last week? Well, this week, as I was praying, and he's still unfolding more of his true character. See, if we're going to know Jesus, I don't want to know, quote, air quote, no, a fake Jesus, a Jesus that does not really exist. There's only one Jesus, there's only one Christ with which we have to do. And that's the risen Savior Jesus. And He is the one revealed to us in Scripture. And so as I was praying and Lord, what's next? What do you want? What's next on this agenda of yours? And the title just kept coming to me, Denying Jesus. We got to know what that is. To some extent, we know what it is, but it's a lot more subtle than a lot of people think. And I'll be honest with you, from pulpits in America this week, from the pulpits, there's going to be a lot of denying Jesus going on from people who claim that He is their Lord and Savior. What? Well, Peter talked about it. And Jude talked about it, and John talked about it in his epistles. It's all over. We're just going to touch on a little bit of it today. But the title of today's lesson is just simply Denying Jesus. So we're going to kind of review a passage that we read last week. So look again in your Bibles. We're going to got some verses today. You mean we're actually going to read the Bible? Yeah, it's good for us. Matthew chapter 10. Let's read this whole passage again. Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 33. Now he's talking about persecution. Jesus is warning them about the persecution that's to come. And he's telling them that some of his disciples are going to be put to death. In fact, all of them were martyred except John. We'll talk about that more maybe in a minute. But it wasn't just the 12. I mean, lots of martyrs. Okay, Matthew 10, starting in verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. In other words, publicly. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. And last week we kind of emphasized that, you know, most people, what? Wait, what? What did you just say, Jesus? See, this is the real Jesus. And, you know, if you were sitting in the classroom of Jesus, he doesn't change. He'd be saying, now you're going to get persecuted for being my follower. And, you know, they're going to threaten to put you to death. And you're probably sitting there thinking, yeah, but they won't be able to do it. And he's going, well, really, they can't. They can't kill you, but they might kill your body. And you're going, isn't that the same thing? No, it's not. No, they can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. They can't kill the real you. I love how Luke says that. I didn't look the verse up for you again, but the same thing in Luke says, oh, don't fail them that kill the body. And after that, there's nothing they can do. And most people would go, that's enough. They kill the body. Verse 28, back to it. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. They really can't kill you. They might kill your body. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So we only fear God. We fear no man. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Don't ever think he doesn't know what's going on in your life. He says, two sparrows, which people don't put much value on a sparrow. They're sold for like nothing. And one of them shall fall in the ground without your father. He takes notice, think of it, of every sparrow that dies. He knows. Then he goes, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. How well does he know you? How much is he aware of what's going on in your life? You know, every time I take a shower again, I'll see another hair fall, go down the drain. I wonder if there's a number, you know, God's going, oh, there goes the hair number 7,641. I don't, I believe Jesus is serious. The Father is so aware of his children. He knows the exact number of hairs on your head. Don't ever think he doesn't know what's going on in your life. He does. Verse 31, fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now here it is, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, now this is publicly, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. This is serious business. This is our Lord. This is the real Jesus talking now. Well, we're all familiar with Peter and you know, how he denied the Lord three times. And Jesus even prophesied to him ahead of time that that was going to happen. And, you know, if you really read it in all four Gospels, it wasn't just Peter. It says all the disciples said the same thing. We're willing to die for you. We will not deny you. Everybody else may forsake you, but not us. I mean, you know, all of the 12 said the same thing. All right, but Peter's the only one that vocally did it. Well, let's read one of those accounts. Let's read Luke's account of that because it's important. The subject is denying Jesus. Well, the poster boy for that we have is Peter, okay? So Luke 22, starting in verse 54. We're going to do 54 through 62. Then they took him, that's Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off, not up close. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him. Peter, he denied Jesus, saying, Woman, now here it is, I know him not. What did Jesus say? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. Peter's got right there. You know him. You're one of those with him. Woman, I know him not. If that's not denying the Lord, I don't know what is. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. In other words, I'm not a disciple. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a disciple. I'm not with him. I don't know him. And immediately, and by the way, a couple of the other gospels say he did it with an oath. Got to remember, Peter was a fisherman. he may have had some colorful language associated with his denials. One of them says he cursed, okay? And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now listen, look at this. It's verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. In my mind, I see their eyes locked. Here Peter has denied him the third time, just like the Lord said. The cock crows. Apparently he was within looking. He could see what's going on with Jesus. I wonder how battered he was. I don't know what stage it was in. Plucking the beard, hitting him, all the things that they did to him. I don't know what stage it was in. But Jesus turns and looks into the eyes of Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And notice, and Peter, he left, he went out, and he wept bitterly. Jesus had prayed for Peter. He said, Listen, the devil's coming to sift you like wheat. He's going to try your ground, boy. And I'm praying for you, that your faith fail not. Let's don't get confused. Peter loved Jesus. He did. He loved Jesus. But Peter is not born again. Peter's a man. Peter wanted to have courage. See, I don't know what level of persecution is coming. If it gets really bad, I pray that my faith fail not, and I pray that I don't turn coward and run. I want to stand strong for Jesus. And Peter wanted to also, but he didn't. But Peter, there's no doubt Peter denied the Lord, and he did it three times. But it's also no doubt that he was immediately sorry, repenting, cried bitter tears. I've tried to imagine what that look from Jesus. Jesus is love. Jesus is going through what he's going through for the salvation of all men, including Peter. He doesn't hate Peter for what he did, but he's looking at Peter. It had to, in my mind, that look was, I love you still. I love you still, Peter. You denied me three times, but I'm doing this as a path of salvation for you and everyone else who believes. But still yet, Jesus doesn't lie. And what did he say? If you deny me before men, is that what Peter did? Absolutely. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. You can't do away with that just because, you know, of the some ooshy-gooshy Jesus that's been preached to you from the pulpits. Jesus does not lie. There's a problem here. Well, let's keep reading. Thank God the story doesn't end there. So let's go on all the way over to Mark chapter 16, and let's look at verses 1 through 8. And I know we're reading some Bible today, but I think that's good for us. We need our vitamins, you know. We need our vegetables. Hallelujah. Good for you. My mom, it's good and good for you, you know. She lived to be 101. She'd listen to mom. Okay. Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. And when, after Jesus has been raised from the dead. And they put him in the, tomb. They rolled the stone. And of course, nobody else knows what happened. But here comes Mary Magdalene, okay? So Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. So they're really there early. And they said among themselves, well, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. It was a big stone. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. Excuse me while I turn the page. And they were affrighted. It scared them. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Here's the message. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they had laid him. But go your way, and now this sentence is so important. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you, Jesus goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. For they were trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now the sentence we want to focus in on here. What did Jesus say? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. Now he's risen from the dead. I believe it's an angel. It says a young man. I believe it was an angel said to Mary and these women, you go find his disciples. Now notice how it's worded. You go find his disciples and Peter. Now what's interesting is I read the commentaries. Most of them say, well, you shouldn't infer that Jesus was saying at that moment Peter was not his disciple. Well, I am saying that exactly, because that's exactly what's said here. There's no, if words mean anything, tell his disciples. Oh, and Peter. Why would you have to single out Peter? Peter had denied him and not been restored yet. He had repented. But at this moment, he's denied that he even knows the Lord. I thank God for the Lord's... we'll get to that verse in a minute. Started to get ahead of myself. All right. Tell his disciples and Peter. Peter, we want you to go. I'm telling you, you go with them. Go into Galilee. I'm going to meet you there. They knew where to go. Okay? Tell his disciples and Peter. You remember the story where this woman, she had a past. She had a history. Everyone knew she was a woman of ill repute. And she's ministering to Jesus, and the religious people got mad about it. And I just want to read you one verse out of that story, Luke 7:47. Jesus said, talking about that woman, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. This woman, everybody knew this woman. She was a woman of ill repute. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He that is forgiven much, loves much. See, all of the disciples, except John, let's talk about when it's time for Jesus to actually be crucified. None of the disciples were there at the cross. None of them were there. His mother was at Jesus', Mother Mary was there. I believe Mary Magdalene was there and others. But there's only one of the disciples that was there, and that was John. Only John was there. All the rest of them hid, even though they had said the same thing as Peter. We will never forsake you. We're willing to die with you and so forth. Well, when it came right down to it, all of them hid except John. And then Peter, he didn't actually hide with the rest of them, but he followed to see what was going to happen. And he denied the Lord when push came to shove. And it came right down to it, where they might kill you too. Well, why did the disciples not show up at the crucifixion? They did not want to be arrested and crucified also. They were afraid. Now, let's just tell the truth. They were afraid. So all of them turned coward, except John. Just interesting to me, and I don't have a lot to say about it, but it's just interesting to me. See, only John. John was the only one of the 12 that did not die a martyr's death. All the rest of them did. All of them. Only John did not. They tried. History says they boiled him in oil one time, and they did several times, but they just couldn't kill John. He died. He's the only one that died just of natural causes, old age, in Ephesus. Why? Well, John had already died. When he made that decision, I'm gonna go to the cross while they crucify my Lord. I don't care if they come kill me. They kill me, but I'm gonna be there. I'm going to be with Jesus at the cross. He's already laid down his life. Anyway, that's another lesson. So let me just read what I wrote here. No, time just flies. All of the disciples except John, they were afraid to be there at the cross when Jesus was crucified. They were all afraid and hid. By their actions, see, they were denying him. Not their words. But Peter also did not attend the actual crucifixion. He wasn't there at the cross, but he was there during the trial. And he denied him with his words. So by action and by word, Peter denied the Lord three times. See, John was ready to die for Christ. He attended the crucifixion, knowing full well that he might be arrested and executed. John was the only one of the 12 who did not die as a martyr for Christ. Why? You know, Paul says, we die daily. We're willing to die every day. Every day. And it's like in the morning when I first get up, Lord, I'll die for you today if need be. I'm ready. We die daily. I'm ready. John, when he made that decision, I'm going to be there when they crucify my Lord. And if they crucify me too, I'm ready. He'd already died. See, but Peter did cry bitter tears, it says. Peter genuinely repented. Peter was forgiven the most because he denied the most. Do you understand that? He that's been forgiven much loves much. Peter was the worst denier. But Peter was repentant and he was restored. How much was Peter restored? Are you aware that it was Peter that first preached Christ to the Jews on the day of Pentecost? It was Peter on the day of Pentecost, right after they all spoke with other tongues. It's Peter that delivered the first message to the Jews. He is risen. And it's Peter also that first preached Christ and him crucified and risen to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius. How forgiven is Peter? Peter was the first to preach the gospel to the Jews after the resurrection, and he's the first to preach the gospel to the Gentiles after the resurrection. Peter, the same one who denied, he that's forgiven much loves much. Peter is the one that's singled out as being the one so anointed that just as he's walking down the street, they would bring the sick and the demon-possessed and put them on couches and beds, lay them along the street, hoping they just get within shadow length of Peter, and they were all healed, and the devils came out of them. Glory to God, this is the same Peter that denied the Lord three times. Oh, my goodness. Mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father God is amazing, okay? Now, see, the warning that's in the letter to the Hebrew Christians, which we read some out of there last week about it, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together and how important that was, especially in the first 100 years, the foundation years of Christianity. But the whole letter to the Hebrew Christians that we call the book of Hebrews, what was the message? Do not deny Christ, no matter how severe the persecution. Do not deny him as your Savior. Do not reject Jesus and his blood and turn back, trusting in the law of Moses to save you. Don't do it. If you do it, you're going to, if you deny him, he will deny you. And the first covenant has been done away. There is no salvation outside of Christ. That's the message to the book of Hebrews. And how important was that? See, and if we, well, we'll get into some verses later. I'm about to get ahead of myself again. All right, slow down here, Gary. Hang on. It's not really coming as prophecy, but I hear the Lord saying, I love you. I died for you. There's so many still that need to be saved. I'm strengthening my church. I am maturing my church. I'm growing you up to become an adult, and so you can put away childish things and be my disciple in earnest, where you are not afraid of those, even if they threaten to put you to death. You be not afraid of them. Trust in me. They cannot kill you. They can only kill the body. I'm maturing you into an adult now, because there's a world to save. There's a world to save, and I need you. I need you. Let me grow you up, says the Lord. My goodness. So the title of today is Denying Christ, and the most obvious example is Peter and how he denied the Lord. But see, there's also repentance afterwards and restoration, and such restoration that God honored his repentance to the point he used that same one that denied him three times. He used that same one to open the gospel to the Jews, to open the gospel to the Gentiles, and to walk in such power emanating just from his physical body that you got within shadow length, you get healed. Or if you had devils, those devils would come out. Glory to God. There is hope for each and every one of us. I don't care if you've been afraid to speak up in the past. I don't care if you've been silent when you know he was telling you to speak. I don't care if you were too timid. He is growing us up. And if he can do that in Peter, he can do that in you. All right, let's go on now. See, because there's many more ways to deny the Lord that the Bible talks about. The New Testament says plainly they were denying the Lord, but they weren't saying like Peter, Jesus, or I'm not his disciple. They weren't saying that. They were saying, I am his disciple. But it also says they were denying the Lord. Gary, what are you talking about? Well, really, you got to understand, even in Peter, there were the seeds of denying Christ sown in Peter way before what we just read there at the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. So let's back up to Matthew 16, and let's look how this really began. I'm talking about the seeds of denial, where you're going to wind up denying Christ. We see seeds of that already in Peter long before that event. So Matthew 16, let's read verses 21 through 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Now notice, and be killed. He's plainly telling them he's going to be killed, and that he and be raised again the third day. Now he's plainly telling them this is going to happen. Now read this. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. What does rebuke mean? You're wrong, Jesus. What you just said is wrong. Look, be it far from thee, Lord. Now notice how plain this is. This shall not be unto thee. Nope. I heard what you said. I'm sorry to have to rebuke you, but you're wrong about this. No, that's not going to happen. So here's Truth himself standing there telling you this is what's going to happen. Oh, but see, Peter knew better. What's funny is how often we do the same thing. Anyway, no, I rebuke that. Can't you imagine? It's just not preached clear enough to us to understand what really happened there. Peter rebuked him. No, Jesus, you're wrong about this. That is not going to happen to you. God. He's denying what the Lord's saying. He's denying the Lord. I heard what you said, but that's not what's going to happen. The seeds were already in there. And you can obviously, they came to fruit. They came to full harvest there at the trial when he actually denied the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Okay. What did Jesus think about that? When Jesus knows who the ultimate adversary of the word is. That's Satan himself. Now, he's not really. Anyway, verse 23. But he turned, that's Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He knew who was behind that thought. He's not really calling Peter Satan, but he understands where that thinking originated from. Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Well, we could teach a long time on there, but I just wanted you to see that the seeds of denial were already in Peter a long time before his actual denial at the trial of Jesus. See, let me just read what I wrote here. Let me paraphrase what Peter said. Jesus, I have to rebuke you. You're wrong. I know more than you about this. This shall not be what happens to you. Now just sit here, Lord, and let me explain the truth to you. That might be a little bit over, but that's pretty much what Peter's saying. This is not. Now, I heard what you said, Jesus. But no, that's not what's going to happen. Here, let me tell you, you know. The seed of denying him was already germinating within Peter, and it came to full harvest later. But boy, thank God there was still forgiveness for Peter. But he did have to repent, and he had to believe. You have to come to the place where you believe the words of Jesus. See, Peter loved Jesus. That's one of the reasons he rebuked him. He said, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to leave. I love you. But Peter did not love Jesus' words. Did you get that? I love you, Jesus, just not your words. That's not going to work. See, Jesus does not just tell the truth. He is the truth. That means his words are truth. He plainly says, the words I speak to you, they're not of myself. Whatever I hear the Father say, that's what I say. So Jesus, when he's speaking what the Father's saying. And in John 17, he said, Father, thy word is truth. All right, going over to, okay, so now we've seen this in the life of Peter. Let's bring it up more modern times. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 1. Now, there were false prophets also among the people. Now notice Peter says, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now underline if you, among you, in the church, in your group. They're not denying that Jesus is the Savior, okay? But they are false teachers. But they're saying Jesus is the Christ because they're among you. They couldn't stay among you if they said Jesus was not the Christ, okay? Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. The word damnable, you could have just said heresies, because heresy already means, you know, it's not the truth. Damnable. This stuff can send you to hell, okay? Now notice, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now how are they denying the Lord among you? Well, they obviously are not coming into the church and saying Jesus is not Lord. That's not it. That's not what it is. You know what they're doing? They're kind of doing what Peter did. Oh, I'm not denying that Jesus is Lord. Peter loved the Lord. He didn't love his words. These people say, oh, I love the Lord. You know what they actually say? See, all you have to do is deny what Jesus said. When Peter heard what Jesus said, he says, I don't agree with that. That's not the truth. That's not the way it's going to be. That's not going to happen. Peter, he would say, well, I know you're Lord. He just got through saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love you. I know who you are. I know you're Lord. But I don't agree with your words. Are you getting this? Did you know that there are many teachers in the modern church, not just in America, but worldwide, and I mean big, mega churches. I'm not going to name names today. I have in the past. I'll do it again in the future if he has me do it. I mean churches with 40,000 members, 50,000 members, big churches. And that was the last time I checked. They may be a lot bigger than that now. They are doing exactly the same thing that Peter did there. Now, for example, let's just see what Jesus said. Go to Matthew 28, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 20. This is just before he ascends into heaven. A very popular, very familiar scripture. Jesus says, go you therefore, talking to the apostles, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now notice, teaching them to observe, and that just means to do, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. But let's focus on verse 20, where it says, I want you to go, preach the gospel, baptize them, but teach them. Now see, all the world, when it says all nations, he's talking to Gentiles. He's talking about, I want you to go teach the Gentiles, all the people, the same thing that I taught you. Well, who is you? Well, every single one of them's a Jew. These are Jewish people. He's talking about what he taught them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything I taught you, Jewish people, who are now born, you know, who are going to become Christians now. But everything I taught you, you go teach the Gentiles. Do you know that there are, I want to emphasize it again. I did it in bold, underlined, all caps. What am I supposed to teach? The same things I taught you, Jewish person. The same things, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What I taught you, you go teach them. Many of these mega churches, and I mean not just these, you know, certain ones around the world, even here in Tulsa, many, and where you are, I'm sure, whatever country you're in, whatever city you're in, there are mega churches today all around the world that teach this, that the words of Jesus before the resurrection were only for the Jews. They say Jesus never intended for his teachings to apply today to modern day Christians. For example, they say the Sermon on the Mount. One of them actually said, I don't know whether Jesus would roll on the floor laughing or cry bitter tears at the very thought that somebody would say the Sermon on the Mount applies to Christians. Do you understand that that is a damnable heresy? That is denying the Lord, because Jesus says, you go and teach all of them the same things I taught you. Well, the Sermon on the Mount is most certainly one of those things and everything that he taught. But they say, no, that doesn't apply to the Christian today. I can take you to churches right here in this city, which I live in, Tulsa, Oklahoma, which they say is the buckle of the Bible Belt. But I could take you to churches right here today, and you could find them on the internet everywhere, that not only will say that the Sermon on the Mount does not apply to Christians today, but they'll say things like, well, you know, you don't really have to repent of your sins. Jesus already paid for all your sins, past, present, and future. Actually, I've heard more than one of them say things like, you know, it's actually kind of an insult to Jesus if you go to him repenting of your sins, because he's just going to say, well, I already died for that anyway. You can continue in that. It doesn't matter. I already paid for that. Yeah, you'll be fine. You know, some of them, they'll say, you don't have to repent of your sins. You can keep living in that adultery. You can keep living in that fornication. You can continue to, I don't know where all they would draw the line. I mean, most of them will say, quote, quote, oh, we don't really promote sin. But at the same time, they take away all the penalty for sin. And it, you know, what they're really saying is you can continue to live in drunkenness and adultery and fornication and pornography and all this stuff, and you'll be okay. They're denying the Lord. That is a damnable heresy that you'll wind up in hell if you believe it and continue without repenting. See, if you ever, I want to promote again that series that's available both at Rumble and at our website and at YouTube called the First John series. And the subtitle is Removing the Gray from Your Gospel. John plainly says, and there you can, it's not that hard to tell who's a child of God and who's a child of the devil. He that habitually lives righteously is of God. He that habitually lives in sin is of the devil. There you go. What are you going to do with that? See, that's John 50 years later still preaching what Jesus taught them. He is doing exactly what Jesus said there in that verse. I want you to teach them everything I taught you. Well, he's continuing to do that 50 years later. All right, let me stay with this. Many churches today here in Tulsa and around the world, Sermon on the Mount doesn't apply to you today. You don't really have to repent of your sins. You can continue living in that and be okay. You know, there's churches. I grew up in a church that said casting out devils is not for today. That passed away. Speaking in tongues is not for today. What did Jesus say? Those that believe in my name, they're cast out devils. Oh, we don't think that's for today. Jesus said, those that believe in my name, they'll pray, they'll speak with new tongues. Oh, that's passed away. See, that's not for the modern day Christian. That was for them then. That's not for us today. Huh. How about laying hands on the sick and they shall recover? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So a lot of churches believe that healing has passed away, that Jesus is not the healer anymore, that God doesn't heal today. You got to throw away about two-thirds, three-fourths of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is exactly what they're doing, because they say it doesn't apply today. That was only for the Jew then. Or only, some of them will go so far as to say, that was only for the first century church. And once the last apostle died, that was the end of that. Pastor Dave, we got a few minutes. I want to share that when you can't improve on it, you just steal Pastor Dave's stuff. And he would smile about this. So that doctrine of, when the last apostle died, that was the end. All of this supernatural healing and everything and the gifts of the Spirit, that was only for, during the time of the first church. So when the last apostle died, that was the end of it. So, John, he lived out his last days in Ephesus. And so here's Timothy. We know Timothy was a preacher there. And John was a preacher there. So Pastor Dave says, well, they got two prayer lines going here. At the end of a service, Timothy's got a prayer line, and the Apostle John, he's an old man now, about 100 years old, and John's got a prayer line. So Timothy's praying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Pow, splat, and the power of God hits them, and they fall on the floor, and they're instantly healed of whatever it was, and the next person he prays for, you devil, you come out, and splat, the guy's on the floor, and he shakes, and he trembles, and the devil leaves him. Ha! All of this wonderful stuff is happening. And all of a sudden, Timothy lays his hand on the next one in the name. And there's nothing. No power, no flow, no devil cast out. God doesn't get baptized in the Holy Ghost, doesn't speak. What's going on? It was working, and now it's what? Not working. Why is it not working? And somebody taps him on the shoulder and said, Apostle John just passed away down there. So that's the end of it. How ridiculous is that? It didn't end. There's nowhere you're going to find that he intended for his gospel to end or for the power of it to end when the last apostle died. Come on. It's an excuse for not believing the Bible. Well, we don't see it happening. Can't be our unbelief. When the disciples asked that time that they tried to cast the devil out, and it was a particularly nasty devil. It had a lot of symptoms, It said the boy pined away, meaning he probably looked like skin stretched over bones, because he had some kind of devil in him. And it would cause him to have seizures, and it says it would throw him in the fire, throw him in the water. No telling what his voice was like. The devil. And so it had a lot of symptoms, and it caused unbelief. It caused them to be moved, and the disciples, they couldn't understand why they couldn't cast it out. They'd cast out devils before. So they asked Jesus, Jesus, of course, cast it out, and the devil came out. Why couldn't we cast him out? And we'd like for Jesus to say, well, it's because that was a big, bad, nasty devil, No. He didn't mention that devil at all. He said, no. Why couldn't we cast it out? Because of your unbelief. What? That's because of your unbelief. Then he tells them, this kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. This kind of what? He didn't say anything about the devil. What needed to come out was their unbelief. This kind of unbelief, it only comes out but by prayer and fasting. You know how little prayer and fasting is taught in the modern church in America and probably around the world? How little it's taught? Real, especially the kind of prayer that's going to help you come to understanding the mysteries of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit, no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. And Pastor Dave would ask us. So we know two things. When you're speaking in other tongues, you're talking to God. And the second thing we know is that mysteries are being explained. Now, how many of you think that when you're speaking in tongues, you are explaining mysteries to God? And we'd all laugh because that's ridiculous. No, he's not the one stuck. He's not the one that doesn't understand. When you're speaking in other tongues, he is explaining mysteries to you. And Paul goes into more depth than that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit is teaching you spirit to spirit. The things of God are spiritually discerned. And the Holy Spirit, every hour you give him, he is building you up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he is explaining the very mysteries of God. What does that mean? Dave would say, everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. Highly recommend speaking in other tongues. But see, there's a lot of churches today that deny that. Here Jesus says plainly in Mark 16, those that believe. Well, that's, if you believe the gospel, if you're a believer, if you've been saved, those that believe in my name, that means I'm authorizing you, you're going to cast out devils. Now, he's talking about Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. Did you know he said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist? And he said, John the Baptist, born of women, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist, meaning John was greater than Elijah, greater than Elijah, greater than Jeremiah, greater than all the Old Testament prophets. But he said, the least in the kingdom of God, that's Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, the least who's born again. Why? Because you are a spirit-born child of the living God. You've got something Elijah didn't have, and Elijah didn't have, and Jeremiah didn't have. You have been born of God. You've got the very Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, now you've begun the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's God, the Holy Ghost. Now what things are not possible? So, see, here we go again. What is denying Jesus? Jesus said, those that believe will cast out devils. And the modern church says, no, that passed away. Well, who's denying Christ here? The modern church. They're coming, they're not, and the modern church, they'll take your offering every Sunday. They'll dress up the choir in robes, and that's okay. I mean, and they'll lead you in worship songs, and they'll teach you about David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den. Oh, casting out devils? I know, yeah, Jesus said that, but listen, that's passed away. I'm sorry, that's denying Christ. See, especially the ones, Jude has a very similar message as the apostle Peter. And Jude goes into, well, they both go into some detail, but Jude says, these false teachers that have come in among you, they're preaching lasciviousness in the name of the Lord. What? That's a little blind to us. And Gary, can you say that in plain talk? They're saying you can live in adultery and fornication and pornography and still be okay with the Lord. That's not true. They're denying Jesus. Jesus said, whoever looks on a woman has already committed adultery, you know, to lust. Whoever looks onto a woman to lust, you know, in other words, he really wants to do with her. You already committed adultery in your heart. See? Well, no, 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 no. That's, no, no. No, Jesus is very serious about that. And listen, he'll walk with you. If you're hooked on pornography, you can be free of pornography. But it begins with denying the flesh. You're going to have to come to Jesus. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to put that away. At first, see, in Romans 8, it says, through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. First, you got to mortify the deeds. You got to stop it. It's like, you know, you just got to stop it. So you're mortifying the deeds. But see, real mortification is when you don't want to do it anymore. Now, I've been at this long enough to know. I've been hooked on everything. Just money, pornography, alcohol, nicotine. Now, fortunately, when I came through school, drugs wasn't an issue. Thank God they weren't, or I probably would have got on that too. But, you know, I've been delivered from all of those. And especially like with nicotine, I had to mortify the deeds. I had to stop it. But boy, I still wanted to. My body, I know what it is to say no. You know, and everything in me still wants it. You know, this desire is in my flesh strong, not everything in me. In my flesh, it wants that nicotine. It wants it. But how dare you feed me nicotine all these years and cut me off? I will kill you. I'll kill you. So at first you have to mortify the deeds of the body. But if you continue on with fasting and prayer, you come to a place of mortification. I can't believe I ever did that. There's nothing in me that wants alcohol, nicotine, pornography. and I'm not ever going to serve money again. Now, we all need money to function in this world. But see, it's turned around now. I'm not the servant of money. Money is the servant of me. Completely different. Money serves me as I serve the Lord. Big difference. I know what the difference is. We're running out of time. Let me finish up this. We're talking about denying Christ. Sadly, there's a lot of denying Christ going on from pulpits all the time. So I'm a little hesitant sometimes to just, oh, you just need to find a church somewhere. Yeah, you better redo some research first. There's so many churches out there teaching false things. They're denying the very words of Jesus. Again, let me go through, I only got 6 items here. I could have done 12, 24, I don't know how many. They'll deny the Sermon on the Mount. They'll say it doesn't apply to Christians. They'll say you don't really have to repent of your sins. They'll say casting out devils is not for today. They'll say speaking in tongues is not for today. They'll say laying hands on the sick and expecting them to be healed is not for today. And here's a big one. You know, I've actually heard them say, you don't really have to forgive people. What did Jesus say? If you don't from the heart forgive every person their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses against him. Now, that's the words of Jesus. What are you going to do with that? You going to deny that? Are you going to be a Jesus denier? You better be get her. When he was first teaching me, I don't have time. We just got a couple of minutes left. He told me early on, there's some people that I had to forgive. And I said, I don't want to forgive them. They hurt me bad. I want them to die and I want to do the killing. He said, well, you're not going to go very far with me unless you forgive them. Well, I want to go far with you, but I don't want to forgive them. His command to me was just to start. Just said, would you be willing to just say, Father, bless them. Just Father, bless them today. I can do that. So first time I did it, I said, Father, okay, I'm asking you to bless them, and you know I don't really mean it. But as I continued to obey him, he began changing my heart. See, if you cannot just deny the words of Jesus. Whatever he says, start, begin, pray, listen. He will lead you into the fullness of it. What I couldn't, they live 3 blocks from me today. They're some of our closest friends. Anyway, hallelujah. I'm running out of time. Now look at this real quick. Matthew 10, verses 21 through 22. We're talking about the real Jesus. See, today there is such an ooshy-gooshy. He's so concerned about your happiness. He would never say anything to you that would upset you or offend you. I don't know what Jesus are talking about. Look at Matthew 10, verses 21 through 22, because it may come to this, even in America. He says, the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Talking about persecution here. Now, you can take that both ways. Your Christian brother deliver you up, or your physical brother. I really think he's talking about your physical brother here, because then he starts talking about the father and the child and so forth. I mean, your own brother, you become a Christian, your brother does not, and there's such persecution going on that your own brother would turn you into the authorities. So you'd be like Saul of Tarsus before he got converted, that they would turn you into the authorities. My brother is a Christian. And they'll arrest you and execute you. Do you see that word there? To death? How about this one? And the father, the child, can you imagine a father? Well, my child is a Christian. I'm turning him into your authorities. Yeah, they have Bible studies in their home, and my child is the leader of it. I'm turning him in, maybe even for execution. Now, then he says, and the children shall rise up against the parents, now notice, and cause them to be put to death. Talk about persecution. And you shall be hated. You see it happening. Right now they're calling you bigots. And, you know, if you stand up for the truth, you're a hater and a bigot and a racist and everything else. Shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. Now notice, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, if you're going to leave it in context, I'll just read this and I got to stop. In these last days, Christians are being called by the Lord to come out of the closet. and be witnesses again publicly, no matter the persecution that it brings. The time is short. He is saying not only will the world hate you, your own brother may turn you in to the authorities. Your father, children may turn in their parents to be put to death. Can you imagine that level of persecution going on? But he's saying, even if your own children are going to turn you in, don't go into the closet. Don't be secret. Let your light shine. Let us commit fully to the Lord. We will not deny our Lord. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.